Panic with Jack and Jake.
Ding dong boom, better, better, better Friday. How's everybody doing on this Sunday day?
Friday! Yeah!
It's nice to be back on the air.
Yeah, it's great to be back on air. After a week without Gay Panic, you're probably feeling a little bit straight, kind of awkward, and just also dusty.
Shooketh.
Yeah, you are shook to your nth degree, to the core. Thanks very much to The Gristle for another great show about something that I have no interest in, politics.
And that. Absolutely. But welcome to Gay Panic, where we talk about everything sex, sexuality, and gender diverse. And like we were saying, we were off air last week because we had some technical glitches, but back in full swing tonight with an awesome show for you.
Shut up.
Every week on the show for the past couple of months or so, with RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9 airing now on VH1, was on Logo, but it's now on VH1, so you can watch it there and watch it on Stan. We've been doing revisions, so we missed a week, so we've actually got a double catch-up for you this week, episodes 11 and 12. We're ever so reaching the end of this season.
Absolutely. It's like we are almost to the elbow in terms of fisting, of completion of a fisting session.
Content warning.
Of the show. So close. Only however many queens remain.
Yeah, there's only four queens now, and that is... Okay, so we don't want to do any spoilers, but we're, like, really down to the nitty-gritty. We've got two episodes coming up in the next fortnight, but before we go and talk about those, we're going to revisit the past 2 weeks if you have not yet caught up on those.
I also had a chat with Daniel Monks and Stevie Cruz-Martin, who are the writer and director behind an Australian feature film called Pulse. It's screening at the Sydney Film Festival, and right about now you'd be midway through the second session. So well done on being able to multitask.
Or if you are now watching it, I hope you're enjoying the film, and also by listening to this program, I hope you will enjoy the program that we are about to show you for the next hour.
Absolutely. So they came into the studio a little bit earlier, just after Daniel had got back from LA and Stevie flew out from Perth. It was a really good catch up. Basically, the film is highlighting two kind of main themes, sexuality and disability, and looking at the intersection between those two things and how a lot of the time they contrast. We've spoken to a few people, especially from Family Planning New South Wales, about how disability has a tendency or a stereotype to be something that's desexualized. People with disability, and especially physical disability, are de-sexed. And even if we go back into history, it used to be the case that it was actually biologically they would be de-sexed in a sense. And obviously since then, barbaric times passed, it's still in the nature social world now that it's something that doesn't exist. And the interesting intersection and contrast and almost juxtaposition of being a gay man and being a gay disabled man. I'm just throwing out as many big words as possible because I've got a dictionary in front of me, and I'm really excited about the fact that I purchased it.
Looking forward to hearing from those guys very soon about breaking the stigma. I've got some fun news too. I'm going to New York on Sunday.
Can you turn off your phone?
Well, hello. All right, can I just take this call? Hello! This vibration
it's
from my ever callers. I'm going to New York on Sunday, and I'm actually going to catch the last end of Pride. Thank you. Yes, I am nominated for an award. It's amazing. But going to there, you've been to the States before, have you not?
I have. I've been to the States like 4 or 5 times now.
Oh my God,
I think.
Wow, so cool.
Yeah, I'm always over there. It's crazy. Over there like yesterday. So.
Have you ever been to Pride?
I've never been to Pride, and I feel like Pride in every other country is done so much differently than Mardi Gras here. So Pride is celebrating...
Daytime. Daytime.
Daytime,
not nighttime.
Not nighttime.
I feel like that's what separates apart, and that's the only defining feature.
Well, I think also the Pride festivals as well separate themselves from the Mardi Gras festival, because Mardi Gras, especially in America too, is not a gay festival necessarily.
No, it's tits and beads.
Yeah, and it's a weird combination. Like, I'm not about
not
that.
Not on beads, just like... them together.
You give them some beads and they show you tips.
But you've never been to Pride within the States, but how much do you know about it? Because I want to go over there and in the short amount of time I am there, navigate and see if I can actually go and see anything. It's quite like a vibrant in the streets, like similar to Mardi Gras, but quite more extensive.
Yeah, I think so. So it's a much more extensive festival in that aspect. So I think Mardi Gras is trying to do the same thing in making it a festival vibe, but the whole city, it's a much shorter amount of time, I think, and it's condensed into a bigger party because of that, and people are celebrating and they're aware that it's Pride, and obviously in New York as well.
So they flee because they don't want to see gay people.
Fly to the other states. But yeah, also
flamethrowers for the flamers.
That's part of that.
As ammunition. Sorry.
Just my point is done. Yeah. Should we get into some music?
Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, also, Patrick is going to be giving us a roundup of what happened at the
LGBTIQ Awards.
Yes. I was wondering how many letters they included.
The first event in the season. The commencing launch. 9 month in anticipation ceremony that then kicks off in March. That's all coming up. But you've got some bangers for us. What are you going to start off with? It better be a good one.
It is a good one. It's a really good one. It is a track from Health, who you love.
Oh.
A new...
it's new stuff. How do I not know? Is this a remix?
It's a remix, yeah.
Of what?
It's of LA Looks. Yes. And it's a Guardian remix.
Oh, a Guardian remix of a Health track. Very interesting.
Yeah, off a new, I want to say album, a remix album, Disco 3 Plus.
Love it.
That they've put out, and it's such a banger. Such a, I was going to say like summer running tune.
Right. But so it's great we're in the thick of winter.
Yeah. It's perfect for that. Or like if you're at winter, just stand at home, stomp your feet and like fist in the air kind of thing like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just like a
I've never done hot yoga, so maybe winter is the perfect time to go do that. It has a fancy name, right? What is it? What's the fancy yoga name? Hot name?
I feel like it's literally called hot yoga.
I'm not sure. We'll get back to you just after we have this new Health track remix by The Guardian.
Yeah, here we are. It's LA Looks from Disco 3 Plus. You're on Gay Panic on 2SCR 107.3.
Oh yes. Oh, I'm. It's summertime. I'm feeling I'm warming up.
I'm sweating.
Ouch.
We'll be right back. Sydney Film Festival is on right now and must finish on Sunday, June 18. Hurry to sff.org.au to choose from hundreds of films on offer at 12 venues across the city, from the beautiful State Theatre to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick. Dramas, documentaries, comedy, horror, music, you name it, you'll be spoilt for choice. Book online or call 1300 733 733. Sydney Film Festival, sponsors of 2SER.
I want one of your aunt's coffees that you do.
No, go away.
Please, Daddy. I'm thirsty.
I'm not your
Jane
slave.
Thirsty.
I've had a long day.
I'll let you be my friend on Facebook.
Go away.
I'm blocking you from Facebook.
We won't block you on Facebook. Like us on /Gay Panic Radio and follow us on Twitter at Gay Panic Radio.
It's going to be insane.
Track from Saline that they originally released about 6 or 7 months ago, but then reworked it into something a little bit more dream poppy there. So Rude is the name of the tune. And you also heard from Health, again, another rework, but that one an actual remix of their song LA Looks from Guardian. Disco 3 Plus is the name of the album. It's got a bunch of remixes on there. Oh my God, I've got so much information. I just want to share it on there. Well, you're on the Jack Show. Here's me, Jack.
I think it's cancelled. If there's anything that you want to check out about our program in the past month or so,
the we Jack have
in
Show.
Fact, yeah. Oh my God, it's so interesting how it's not called that. We have a brand new website. It's called 2SER.com. You can go there and check out all the fresh content that we've had from over the course of this year. It's pretty, pretty cool. But there isn't like a really easy navigating way to get straight to there. So this is how you do it.
Oh my God.
Open your browser.
Yeah.
2SER.com. And then there is a schedule. Click on that. And then you go to Gay Panic. That's how you find all that stuff. I've had a number of questions from the listeners saying, how do I get to the Gay Panic page on the new 2SER website? Just go to 2SER.com, go to schedule, scroll down, you'll find Gay Panic. All of the content from the show is up there. Whatever you need.
I wonder if we can get like a really easy Google shortened URL version of our page and be like, just go to goo.gl34xy/
3? $1, and then you have to send us a letter in the mail and then say, can you send me that back? And then we can give you a URL link.
That's how it all goes there.
Yeah.
Now, Pulse is showing as part of the Screenability program at the Sydney Film Festival and takes us on a journey of Ollie, a young disabled boy who transitions into a female without disability after a somewhat sci-fi-esque inspired surgery.
The intersection of disability and sexuality is a torrid relationship at the best of times, and writer Daniel Monks, who also stars in the film, takes you down the rabbit hole to explore the discrimination he lives with every day. And along the way, we investigate unrequited love, searching for acceptance in a place fueled by self-loathing and the social model of disability.
Producer Stevie Cruz-Martin and Daniel joined me in the 2SER studios just before the first screening of the film on Wednesday night to discuss Pulse. Here we launch into a discussion. I just realized that I left the music on midway through, absolutely nailing that.
Yeah.
Here we launch into a discussion about the core themes of this new Australian feature.
The overwhelming stereotype of the disabled person is like the meek, feeble, tiny Tim. And you know, historically, not even just in perception, but literally, disabled people were, you know, de-sexed against their will. And so... It's really interesting being in that cross-section of being a gay man and a disabled person. And I think it's really important to show more well-rounded, complex depictions of disabled people on screen.
As a gay man myself, mm-hmm. I have gone through that idea of if there was anything else that I could do to not be gay, I would do it.
Totally.
Is that something that I think Ollie was playing with in this film or toying with?
Well, when I...
Dan did write it, actually, so coming from... That was your impetus behind
it,
right?
And when I became... Because I acquired my disability at age 11, and so I went into puberty, and at that time I was also realising I was gay. So, and I remember during that time, 13, 14, which is a hard time for anyone, being gay and disabled, those were the two things I really didn't want to be, and I remember I would go to bed each night. I had these two secrets that I thought I was going to take to my grave. One was that I liked boys, and two was that I wore diapers, that I'm incontinent from my disability. And I used to go to bed each night and dream of waking up the next morning and not being the case, of being someone different, of being someone who is less other, who is less different. And so that was so much the impetus. And I remember as well, because I had such a disconnect from my body, because initially as well, when I acquired my disability, I was temporarily quadriplegic, so paralyzed completely from the neck down. And so my body really didn't feel like my own. And going back to school in a wheelchair with an aide, and it no longer felt like my body represented who I was. And so I really felt like the arbitrary nature of bodies, and like how much does my body really shape who I am, not only from my own self-perception, but from the way people respond to me. What's really interesting as well for me is being in these two minorities, as you know, being a gay man and being disabled, is I find, unfortunately, probably because of the overwhelming focus on sex within the gay male culture, that the only discrimination I've really experienced as a disabled person has been within the gay male community. Whereas you won't find a more accepting, compassionate, open community than the disabled community. And so I do find that intersection really interesting, and I kind of hope that the gay male community can open up more and open their minds more and
just more normalized, rather than it sitting back and not having that. That's hopefully what brings the education and the change about.
Absolutely.
Know? People, you know, you're just not used to seeing it as much, you know, and that's why Pulse was so important, to make sure that it was you that was playing it, you know, or we had a disabled character as well as a gay character.
Totally, because you just don't see depictions of, especially young disabled people, so it's very easy to feel alone in that. And and especially in, like, gay male spaces like bars or clubs, which are such safe spaces for the LGBT community, like, I can, around the world, I can count on, like, my one functioning hand how many other disabled people I've seen in those spaces. And so it's kind of... I really hope that those spaces become much more inclusive and not just for, you know, mask white gay men who are able to, you know, like, and more inclusive to all the colours of the queer rainbow, you know. Mm.
And what was this film like for you, Stevie? Did this open up some of your ideas or perceptions about modern gay men or disabled people?
Well, Dan and I had known each other for years before it as well. You know, we lived together for 3 years and we'd been working together. I think now it's about 10 years or 11 years. There's a lot of gratefulness that you have as well, because living together, you know, there are just things that we just don't, they don't even cross our mind in terms of things that Dan has to go through, in terms of, you know, what I have to go through. And so living together like that was already a huge eye opener. But then in terms of the film, yeah, it was never really for me looking about it as a big community. It was wanting to make sure that his story was told authentically and truthfully. It wasn't, I never went into it going, I want to make this film for all LGBT or the disabled community. It was, I want to make sure that we tell this story as authentically truthful as we can. And so that was really, we saw that in the process and the way we worked with all of our actors as well. It was, you know, a lot of heavy rehearsal time to make sure that what you saw on screen was a lot of truth that had really gone on through Dan's life as well. So, yeah, that was really important, to just making sure we were reflecting that journey.
There are some quite visceral moments on screen in terms of the emotion that I think is evoked from all of the actors. There's a number of scenes which jump out to me just in terms of Ollie's interaction with her mother's boyfriend, even just your interaction, Daniel, with your best guy friend. And you can tell, like, if you are a gay man or if you've ever had an unrequited love ever, you can see those slight nuances of having a crush on someone.
That's the, you know, the fun part for me really is the process that we work with is coming up with a lot of different directions. So we had the script, but by the end of it, it was really more of almost a bare bones skeleton. We would talk about the scene, what we thought needed to happen in it, but a lot of the dialogue was left out. You know, a lot of that was improvised with our characters, you know, with our actors. But yeah, it was really more about, I wanted to play with that. I think that there's something beautiful in creating dramatic tension, and so that meant that I was giving really quite different directions to, say, Scott Lee, to then Daniel Monks, to Sean, just to really trying to pull out those different flavours and kind of colours. And then that's why the edit was just so long, because we just did so many takes, you know, and we played so much with it. And then we were in the edit for over 18 months. Yeah, but I mean, Dan did a good year, because he also edited, so he had to look at himself like that all the time. But it was amazing, you know. And but there's a lot of footage.
We can make like 20 different versions
of the film.
Very
different films.
Which was really exciting. I mean, like, in terms of acting on set, like, that was like the most thrilling thing, because you go on a take, and even me having written it, playing a character based on me, I had no idea what was about to happen. And so, like, there are so many of those magic moments that you really crave, where, like, you're genuinely surprised on camera. Like, you're not having to act anything.
No.
Like, you're...
And that can't be planned almost in a way, which is really... That was really cool about that journey as well, because I think for us, what was coming up, the way we'd been working together a lot, is you sometimes think, you know, to write it, you know the best way that it can unfold. And what we've kind of discovered a little bit more in our working process is you go there with what you think is the most exciting, but come in with some other sort of flavors, and then you get into the edit and you're just kind of, you can be shocked and go, wow, it's gone into a really different journey than I expected it to, which is a very different way to make a film, but that's worked for us this time. We loved it.
Was the end product something quite different to the initial script that you had in mind?
Oh, totally. I mean, like, the whole process, like, we like, the writing process was like 5-6 years, and there was like every incarnation of this story that it could have gone down was explored. And then on shoot as well, we did so many different directions to play with stuff. And the same with the edit. So, I mean, the way that we always kind of viewed it with is that is treating the story like allowing it to evolve and allowing it to grow and like treating it not as a static thing, not locking it down, because mm-hmm. Stevie recently looked back at the original shooting script mm-hmm. and like scenes that I thought surely were like dialogue that was scripted came out of just in the moment ad-libbing or improvising. And so, yeah, it's kind of cool. But even though like the details might have evolved or changed, the very much the emotional through line, and we had like a strong skeleton to hold on to, so we had the freedom to really dive off and yeah. play, but we had the kind of safety net that we weren't just free falling.
And what's the takeaway that you want people to get from this film?
For me personally, I know what it's like to really struggle with yourself and your body and your sense mm-hmm. of self, and to feel like the things that make you different actually make you lesser than others. And the biggest takeaway is just I hope that it allows people, whether disability or not, just anyone, to accept and embrace and love what makes them different, because that is actually what has real value in this world. And as well, I mean, it's the old amazing RuPaul quote of like, if you don't love yourself, how are you gonna love anybody else? And like, that's really what the film is about as well. Like, you know, my character mm. operates mm. trying to get love, but very much from a place of self-hating and lack of self-worth. So there's no amount of, you know, affection or attention that he could receive that could ever fill that hole in himself until he does it himself. So
It's something quite interesting too. You do see the character go through from transitioning from male to female. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that really changes, obviously, besides the gender, is the ableness in body.
Totally.
And I think it explores an interesting concept, which is ever present, but a lot of people aren't aware of, in terms of the environment being disabling rather than mm-hmm. the person being disabled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So whether yes. or not it's the medical
model. Totally, yeah. versus the social model, amen. Yeah. Yeah. yeah, and that's the thing as well, is I know as a teenager, like I wasn't introduced to a disabled community beyond a medical context. I didn't really know any other disabled people. I felt very isolated in that. And when you are only operating in a medical context where you're constantly having checkups where they're appraising, are you good or you're bad? How good is this? How bad is this? You know, like, it's very easy to think that my impairments mean that I'm bad or there's something wrong with me or that type of thing. And it was only as an adult and really going to disabled arts and like meeting other disabled artists and finding my entry to the disabled community through that, that I, you know, was able to view my disability in a completely different way, in a more empowering way, mm-hmm. which I think is wonderful. And hopefully the film can help other disabled viewers to view their disability in a similar way.
It pushes the boundaries and opens ideas for people in terms of what is normal, what isn't normal, and just smashing that whole yeah. idea mm-hmm. of normality.
And just
well.
The courage to be like, I can do this. You know, yeah. as soon as you see something on screen that you can remotely relate to, it's yeah. like that I could be a part of that, or I can do that, or, you know, there's something that you see of that in yourself. And I mean, that's what's been fucking awesome as well, right?
Yeah,
with just
yeah.
having these screenings and the amount of disabled community, gay community that's coming to them
yeah.
and really opening up about what it means for them to see a disabled person on screen.
Yeah.
That even, it's just like, we're just it leaps and bounds. I hope it just keeps going, you know? So it is not unusual to
yeah.
see that anymore.
Mm. And it's really beautiful as well, because we were the centrepiece presentation at Melbourne Queer Film Festival early in the year, and now we're part of, with the opening film for Screenability at Sydney Film Festival. And so it's really beautiful that, you know, we had a predominantly queer audience and now we have a predominantly disabled audience. And mm-hmm. to be able to share this with those communities has been, yeah, really special.
Pulse was screening at the Sydney Film Festival on Wednesday and Friday. Unfortunately, there are no future dates set, although you can check out the entire programming on Sydney Film Festival, sff.org.au, as it's going through until June the 18th.
Only
which
a couple
is
more days.
Sunday, yeah.
yeah.
It's kind of sad. I love the Sydney Film Festival. I love all film festivals, but the Sydney Film Festival, you get to go to the State Theatre. I went there last night.
Yeah, I went there a couple of years ago, actually. Tom, my boyfriend, took me there to the launch. I think this was maybe two or three years ago, and the Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds film was the opener at the State Theatre. Gorgeous. Mm. Also, a couple of weeks ago, before it had launched, the festival, Paul Struthers put up a... Paul Struthers, being the former queer screen director, put up a link on his Facebook page saying that the Sydney Film Festival has had such a great array of programs in terms of its queer content this year. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get along and see anything, but am looking forward to the fact that the queer vernacular in Sydney Film Festival will continue to expand.
Absolutely. And one of the other films, as I was saying before you rudely interrupted, Call Me By
Wow.
Call Me By Your Name is it screened last night at 9:15 at the State Theatre. It was absolutely such a gorgeous setting and gay. So many gay people there because it was a gay film. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But Armie Hammer is in it. He's the guy from Social Network. You may know him as the dude who played the twins. And then this absolutely gorgeous young man by the name of Timothy Chalamet, who spoke Spanish, French, and English.
The
film itself is set in like 1980s Italy. The entire backdrop is absolutely gorgeous.
Didn't speak a drop of Italian.
No Italian, none at all. And he also speaks Italian.
Yeah.
And it was stunning, absolutely beautiful. The entire film, I was like, I'm dying for this. But then there was a little bit of this creepy kind of Timothy played a much younger man who looked about 14, and Armie Hammer played a man who looked about 25.
Right.
He was a uni student going over there to study with a professor of archaeology who happened to be Timothy's dad. And it was a strange relationship because if you put a young girl in that position or in that role, then it brings up these certain issues, I think, that wouldn't necessarily be addressed as if there are two men.
Right. Okay.
That's one of the arguments that Paul Struthers actually was kind of saying.
I see.
So I don't know necessarily if that's a bad thing, but I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. You can catch it too. It's going to be playing. Oh my God, is it sold out though?
No, but that's the thing. You have to get in quick with City Film Festival because it's just going like wildfire now.
It's at Haydom Orpheum Cremorne, and it's not sold out. Tomorrow night, you can catch it at 6 p.m. I recommend checking it out, but also have a look at Pulse. Such a good film.
Absolutely.
Coming up, we've got the RuPaul's revision of episodes 11 and 12.
But some Cesar for you now. This one is Prom, new album. You're on Gay Panic.
People who've been injured in accidents don't realise they might be entitled to compensation. But the truth is, if you have been injured, one phone call could change your life. a specialist injury lawyer can give you advice over the phone. Law Partners is Australia's largest specialist personal injury firm, and it costs nothing to call their local office and get some advice. Call Law Partners on 133 529 or visit lawpartners.com.au.
2SER sponsors.
Gay panic on 2SER.
Don't scream into it. It's like speak over it like that.
Don't panic.
I said don't panic. Yeah, why? Why?
Gay panic on 2SER.
Good.
I wanna call you, what's your number? Do you wanna meet me the day after? I saw you look over your shoulder. I need to know now, are you gonna come around? I need to know now, are you gonna come around? If you wanna come to my place, then we can talk about the weather. If you wanna come to my house, then we can meet my parents. If you wanna come to my bedroom, if you wanna come to my bedroom, I saw you on the late train, but you weren't there when I look back again. I heard you working in an office too. Maybe we can make a choice. Tell me what you wanna do. If you wanna come to my place,
yeah, hi, this is just a message, what's for rumour. If you want to run around talking shit about people you don't know, then you need to deal with the repercussions of their opinion on you, because the matter of the fact is, one, your body's not that fucking good to be going around talking shit about everyone, and two, look at the fucking face on you, you know? You're a putrid thing. You look like a cross between a fucking mutated bat and a pig, like a warthog. That's what you look like. So shut your mouth and suck my ass.
Gay panic. Sucking ass so you don't have to.
Crazy stuff there.
I love Cheryl Barnes.
So who, can you give us a bit of a background as to who this person is?
So Cheryl Barnes is this hilarious comedian who just is totally bogan and...
Purposefully?
Purposefully bogan, I think. I am not 100% sure of Cheryl's background, I don't know what the thing is, whether or not it's definitely something to do with sexuality, to do with gender. Cheryl releases all these like music videos around my gay boys and loving my gay boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's an act or if it's a legitimate thing, like if Cheryl is just that crazy.
I would imagine that it's like a online profile. Did you find all her stuff on Facebook or is it YouTube?
It's Facebook.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Oh. And some YouTubies.
Well, maybe she's a little bit of an online profile. If not, we love you, Cheryl. Thank
We're
you so much.
We're obsessed with you and I'm obsessed with that new track from Litany. It is just total blissed out dream pop. Bedroom is the name of it and it's off an EP called 4-Track EP. Guess how many tracks are on there?
I have no clue who 12. You are or what we're doing here. 12. Great. It's a long EP. You're listening to Gay Panic here on 2SER 107.3. What's the time? What's the time? I think it's time for a little bit of tea, a little bit of shade. Jack and Jake's RuPaul Revision, episode 11 and 12, because we missed last week. Here we go.
Are we doing a double episode?
Yeah, fuck.
Because we were off air. How do we want to do it?
I think let's do it. Just be like, this is a double whammy. We're going to recap the two episodes before the final two episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race, seeing as we were off air last week.
Last week. Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Jack and Jake's RuPaul Revision. We're doing episode 11 and 12. Sorry, can we stop for a second? I actually feel quite sick all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I quickly go to the bathroom?
So unprofessional.
This is so dramatic.
This is so
crazy, Jake. Oh, are you okay?
He's left the building.
I'm back.
Oh my god, that was so loud.
I don't know why I feel like shit, but I'm so, like, just good at my job and, like, always here and doing things.
So, back to episode 12.
Yeah, where were we? Episode 11. This is an episode from about 2 weeks ago. We were off air last week, so we're going to do a really quick recap before we do the final four episode recap, which was, in fact, last week. Episode 5. Three different looks on the main stage.
Episode 5?
Fuck me.
Episode 11, right?
Sorry, can we stop for a second? I actually feel quite sick all of a sudden. Episode 11, three different looks on the main stage. We have Alexis Michelle, Shea Coulee, Sasha Velour, Peppermint, and Trinity the Tuck Taylor. The whole purpose of this episode is to design three different looks from scratch. What do you remember about this? This was a while ago.
Well, I remember the looks themselves, and something that stands out to me is Shea Coulee's rainbow look. And I remember seeing it at the time and being like, obviously, that's not a rainbow.
The rainbow look. Does it look good? Yeah. Is it the best you could do? No.
And it reminds me of the things where, who was it? Fifi O'Hara would call out other queens and be like, well, she can do it just because she's Alyssa. Remember when Alyssa wore the dress with all the cameras on it? And I think, I can't remember the theme.
It was a reveal and it wasn't. Yeah. It was literally like the dress was kind of
folded in
pinned
half.
Up. And then as she let it down, there were all these cameras underneath.
It technically wasn't really a reveal. I mean, technically it was, but it didn't really fit the brief. And then Fifi O'Hara went off because she was like, it's Alyssa Edwards. She can do whatever she wants. And I was like, it's Shea Coulee. She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
A little bit. And even the judges said that too. Like, while it's not rainbow, I love it. And I get like your interpretation of a rainbow.
Alexis Michelle, just in terms of the runway and the looks that she does present to the main stage, has just, in my opinion, been lackluster all season. Especially when she said this moment, which made me laugh.
Turquoise embellishments.
I'm like, you're going to literally stick a couple of little turquoise embellishments on your corset and call it a look and put a bow in your head. It's like, that's fucking stupid.
Turquoise.
So the three different categories, it was rainbow, it was sexy unicorn, and then it was village people extravaganza. The sexy unicorn part.
Quaz.
Like, as soon as it began, I, like, started hysterically laughing because I thought it was so fucking ridiculous.
I'm giving you dark and lovely stallion. You could just call me Nay Coulee.
Say
And they've obviously all been given, like, little hooves to wear as props, perhaps, when they were putting their garments together in the workroom.
Some of them I was just like, this is ridiculous. The sexy unicorn thing, peppermint sexy unicorn, was not sexy at all. It was like a grade school interpretation of what a unicorn should be like. And hence the sewing was like off. Totally off.
Yeah.
I thought Shay's was really interesting.
Sexy.
Sexy. Definitely fit the brief. I can't even remember Trinity's, but I just feel like she was very... She didn't wear much.
I think that it was just a little bit tacky. It was kind of like My Little Pony.
It's every little gay boy's pony fantasy. Bubblegum, cotton candy, My Little Pony, and I live.
I feel a bit ill. Sorry for saying, I actually feel quite sick all of a sudden.
Then we get to the bottom two. It's Peppermint. It's Alexis Michelle. No surprises there.
Good.
Lip sync happens, and then Alexis Michelle goes home. No surprises there.
Yeah, Peppermint killed it as well.
Yeah, she really did slay that runway. And she slays that runway all the time. But episode 12.
Yes, and this is the top four.
Four sisters.
And so they have to do kind of a big rap to RuPaul track, make up the rap, rap it, and then perform it on stage with a group of sexy guys, sexy guys, sexy guys, sexy guys, sexy, 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 sexy. Sorry, can we stop for a second? I actually feel quite sick all of a sudden.
This one they brought in, what's his name?
Todrick Hall.
And he...
Faggot in makeup.
And he was so awesome. I think it was really lovely and also had some genuine helpful hints. Whereas I think guy who lost it on Twitter.
Lucian Piani.
Lucian Piani. Never
I'm
really.
I'm like a Rolodex with my Drag Race knowledge. This is good.
Lucian Piani never had any good tips. He was just always like, and like throwing shade and sass. Yeah. And I'm like, get something together. And then I was so glad when they brought on Travis. Do you know his last name?
Travis Scott, the rapper.
When I'm pulling up right beside. No, Travis, the dancer.
And I don't know.
Anyway, he was in a previous episode and I was glad that I brought him on.
Play the track.
Come on, Mama Roo, give the queen her crown. I approve this message and all I'm going to say is I'm Shea Kool-Aid and I always.
Great.
So Todrick Hall is coaching the queens over their raps. Obviously, Shea Kool-Aid walks in there and is like, I got this. And she does have it. She totally nails it. Peppermint.
She did a good job.
Sugary sweet confection. Spicy red hot chocolatey. I'm minty fresh.
Let's do a peppermint.
I thought she did fine. The one who I thought struggled was Trinity because she has no swagger.
Crowns and gowns and tiny thongs too. Other bitches wishing but you ain't me, boo. The talent I've got.
Let's do it again.
Was I off?
You're off, yeah.
Trinity. Trinity definitely has no swagger and needed to bring it a little bit more. She was the one who was suffering and Sasha brought her fucking weird shit.
Be the strange you wish to see in the world.
Sasha Velour relies on brains. Beauty be damned, let monsters reign. I'm a magical bitch, darling. That's how I feel.
And it worked well. She totally played up the whole quirky, I'm a little bit weird, I'm intellectual. She loves playing up that intellectual card.
DJ, start the music. Category is...
Sugary sweet infection. Beverly teeth. Spicy red hot chocolate tea. I'm minty fresh, but it ain't for free.
But then you get to the actual performance on the main stage, and the queens really seem to be delivering it, like, all of them. Shay's kind of, like, quick rap part is a little bit scattered, in my opinion, but she really brings kind of that attitude and real swagger to the stage.
I also thought Peppermint's rap was really cool. The P-E-E... Oh, how do you spell that?
P-E-E-R-F 14.
You know the rest.
Bitch, you know the rest.
I thought that was really great. And also the looks this week. Oh my god.
Category is final four, Eleganza Extravaganza.
Oh yeah. Shay's tits were wonky.
Shay's tits were fucked. So she had this like bustier, which everyone was like loving.
I gotta love it.
And I was loving. Her waist was tucked and tight. I could have fit both my hands around there. Her actual bustier looked like she had
rubbery
flat
tits. So for a second, I actually feel quite sick all of a sudden. Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not okay. This
rubbery
is
chicken
four.
Chest.
You look like you fell out of a KFC van.
You look like
popcorn chicken in the titty area.
So obviously, I actually feel quite sick.
But the winner of that walk, I think, was Trinity Taylor. We finally got to see why she is the drag queen, the prom queen, the beauty queen.
Pageant.
That's it. That's the one I was looking for. Yeah.
We get to see why she was the drag queen. She really brought the pageant sort of sensibility to her runway, but then also not too pageanty. It had kind of a little bit extra and really kind of on brand for Trinity, and I thought she looked beautiful.
Peppermint.
But then we do get to the point where RuPaul asks all the girls, he's like, what would you say to your younger self? And the thing that I really liked about this as well is RuPaul will always be like, so Trinity, what will you say to young Barbara, Bob, whatever his name, her name is. But with Peppermint, because Peppermint is trans, he didn't gender it towards Peppermint. RuPaul didn't gender it. And he's just like, what would you say to your four-year-old self?
What words of wisdom would you share with your four-year-old self? Despite everything you hear from other people.
And when you get into Untucked, you say, like, you hear the girls talking about how Peppermint appreciated that he did not gender her, which I thought was really a nice touch. I think it was lots of sob moments on the stage, though.
Essentially, that's what all of them said. Yeah. So paraphrasing every single one of them.
And Shay's tits were just like... Yeah, that was weird. Then we do get to the lipstick. We finally get to the lipstick. Lip sync.
Oh my God.
On the main stage. And then it gets to the point where they have to narrow down the top four to the top three. And those are the top three queens that will go through to the finale and will be up for the crown of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9, Title America's Next Drag Superstar.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
None of them go home.
I
was so pissed.
Yeah, me too. I pissed myself.
I was like, I get that. If all four of them are amazing, and all four of them were not amazing.
And that's all we have time for. No, I think it was... You want to see them narrow it down. You want them to be cutthroat because these are the best of the best. Like, you can't give everyone the title. Cut some of the fat. And who's the fattest? Probably Peppermint.
Oh, my God.
This has been Jack and Jake's RuPaul Revision. Stick around next time. We'll be doing the reunion. What if Shay's tits won? Yeah, they're just like, Shay's breasts.
I want Trinity to win.
So for a second, I actually feel quite sick.
Wrap it up, fuzzball. You didn't see us back there. Spent a
night contemplating life within a night. I'm so impressed, Jake.
Thank you.
You did so well.
If you want to listen back to any of the revisions or you are not familiar with the program or any of the episodes up until this point, go to 2SER.com, go to schedule, and you'll find Gay Panic and all of Jack and Jake's RuPaul Revision Season 9. It is Season 9. Will be up there for you to listen to. And that fantastic production, I do thank myself. Thank you.
Yeah,
I mean... It's really hard to not get appreciated, but it's nice that I am.
Well, one of the things that you might get appreciated for or nominated for is an LGBTQI or IQ
whatever
award, and our producer Patrick went along to the event, which was the launch basically of the awards coming into making people aware that nominations are going to be open. And Patrick is in the studio now to tell us about how the event went down. Was there food?
There was food. There was fancy KFC.
Oh, my God.
But more importantly, there was free alcohol.
True.
Yeah.
All that you need. And not a rooftop.
It was on a rooftop on an amazing skyscraper in the city. You could see the harbour. I took so many selfies. It was great. I looked embarrassing. But
that's what it's all about, I think.
That's what it's all about.
Who can you name drop? Who'd you see? Who was fancy? Who was good?
Well, there were quite... Peter Fitzsimons. He was hosting a panel that was hosted, which had... there was a video from Molly Meldrum.
Ooh.
Who,
I love Molly.
I love cowboy attire too.
Yeah, there was a lot of cowboy with pride
yep,
rainbow kid. Suspenders and such. But in his video, he absolutely savaged Margaret Court.
Yes,
she got name dropped. I believe he called her a bitch and called for the renaming of the stadium, Margaret Court Arena,
to the Molly Meldrum Arena.
And so there were on the panel. There was a variety of people. There was Julie McCrosin, a presenter, a very well known LGBTI presenter. There was Michelle Heyman, a sports personality who won the Sports Personality Award last year, who also called for the arena to be renamed. So there was, there was so much drama. It was the media launch of the awards. So they've launched the nominations. You can go online and nominate for the public categories now. They've introduced a couple new categories as well as the ones last year. There's categories such as the brand and marketing campaign, what you guys might be nominated for, the Hero Awards.
Oh. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, so I think that seems fitting.
That's like perfect category for us.
Yeah, yeah. I do resemble Hercules quite. I get that. You say that.
I say that all the time.
You've said it. You just said it.
That guy out in the studio was saying
like,
it before.
I've never seen Hercules, but now I have. But yeah, Hero category
and the three new ones, which were the most sort of focused on because they're new.
Mm.
Since the only second year of the awards, they've introduced the Media Moment Award.
Yes.
The international celebrity and the LGBTI music artist.
Okay, so we're winning all three of those.
Because we are leaving with a song of mine tonight. But what was the vibe? Everyone's kind of pumped for the awards season. It isn't until next year, but
yes,
it's
it isn't until March next year. But everyone's very excited. There was a lot of It was very humbling to see a lot of people just so happy and excited to celebrate LGBTIQA+.
Yeah.
Success and how it's so heartening to see just how there was a lot of talk of how we need to celebrate the community. We need to celebrate. There's awards for allies too. There's Celebrity Ally.
Mm.
And so it's a very inclusive and it was just lovely. I felt very included and nice and
recognized
warm and
great
happy.
Talents. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the good things too, I think, about the awards is the fact that there's all of these corporate sponsors. So people who come on board and are showing their initiative and showing their backing of an inclusive workplace.
Yeah. Like, so Coca-Cola South Pacific, Big W, who generously gifted everyone who went a gift card for $20.
Nice bonus.
It was a bonus. There's no one near my house, so it's very unfortunate for me. But yes, it was nice to see corporations getting behind the cause. And what was really interesting, one of the panelists was the head of diversity for Australia Post, who she talked about how, as a government organisation, they can't come out and sign any petitions or anything for marriage equality. They can't do that legally. So it was interesting to hear about how they have such a strong and well-thought-out diversity network in their company. And what they're planning to do now is they're just planning to, when marriage equality becomes a reality, which hopefully is soon, if not, there's a problem. But they're talking about how they're going to support that after. There's a lot of talk of the future, of what's going to happen in the future of LGBT. There was talk about what should happen in LGBTI sports. Like, when the goal, I think, there was when someone comes out as a sports personality, it's just not a thing. That was the goal that was made. So it was honestly a very uplifting event.
Nice.
To go to. I'm looking forward to the awards.
Yeah, I'm excited for us to win at least three of the awards. But as you said, voting is open now. It's totally open to the public and you can nominate anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
Pretty sure you just need to jump on the LGBTIQA awards website.
Yeah.
I'll go out and nominate you guys now.
Thank you so much.
Please.
And Hardcore Classic, you guys are more than welcome to nominate us too.
I smell success.
I'm getting a hint of success as well.
And a little bit of BO, Jack, just so you know. Thanks for listening to Gay Panic. That's all we have time for tonight. Thanks, Patrick, for coming on.
Thank you.
And thank you for this killer tune. This is from Ash Nico and Raph Riley. It's called Sass Pancakes.
That's exactly what I'm having for breakfast and potentially dinner tonight. Maybe Sass Crepes.
Yeah, either way.
Sorry, that was terrible.
You're on a diet.
Hardcore Classic coming up in a couple minutes' time. Jack and Jake, we'll see you in a couple of weeks because I'm in NYC from Sunday, but have a wonderful time.
We are. Bye. Cocking my gun. Showing off and throwing shade because it's fun. So listen, my son. Hold your tits when you run. Try to keep up and don't cry when it's done. I'm sweet maple syrup on the beat. Force feed you sass pancakes every day of the week.